A 5-year-old boy in Ohio experienced intense nightmares. He began waking up in the middle of the night screaming that the plane is crashing and I'm not able to get out. When he was shown an image, a photograph of a World War II aircraft, he immediately recognized it, named it. And not only this, he began to reveal some intriguing details about that particular model, which would have been impossible for him to know at that age. Now, cases like this have been documented throughout the world. And Swami Vivekananda once said, "None of us come to this planet with a clean slate. We all carry karmic imprints. We carry memory from our past lives." So in this video, you will discover whether you have lived before, whether past lives, rebirth and reincarnation have any validity whatsoever. And not only this, you will understand how your innate talents, your deepest tendencies, your fears and your desires are not actually coming from your present life. The Vedantic wisdom has always maintained that consciousness transcends the boundaries of birth and death. And like a traveler collecting experiences across many journeys, our subtle body carries the imprint of previous lives into the present existence. So these memories, this wisdom, this imprints that you carry from your past lives have been shaping your life and your swabhava. So let's understand how you are literally a product of your past. Have you ever visited a place for the first time but immediately feel a sense of familiarity with it, a sense of connection and a sense of resonance with it? Have you experienced the fear of heights or the fear of water? When you stand on top of a building and when you look down, do you feel that sense of fear deeply embedded within your system? I feel this fear of heights. Now, where is this coming from? If it was a natural human instinct, then each and every one of us should have it, and we should have it in the equal amounts. But this is not the case. We all are unique. We have unique tendencies, unique fears, and unique desires. These moments of recognition exist at the edges of our rational understanding. Our logical mind often dismisses them as coincidence, yet they persist with a clarity and emotional weight that's difficult to ignore. According to Vedanta, some of these tendencies might be because of the past life traumas that are unresolved, that we still carry. Imagine suddenly freezing at the sight of a deep water, your heart racing, though you've never had a negative swimming experience. This could be your subtle body, your sukshma sharira, remembering what your conscious mind cannot. Similarly, some profound skills and talents appear within each and every one of us. We cannot explain where this is coming from. Some of the skills that we learn, we adopt them and we learn them very quickly, while some others might find it difficult to acquire it. How is this within us? From where is this coming to us? We have never thought about this deeply. Some child prodigies who perform complex music without formal training challenge our understanding of skill development. Your fingers may remember what your mind doesn't consciously recall, as when someone picks up an ancient instrument and plays it with surprising proficiency. And apart from this, our dream experiences provide a profound insight into whether we have lived in the past and whether we have lived before. Now think about this. When you're dreaming, have you been to certain places which are not familiar, but yet they're not unfamiliar? You know that they are somehow connected to you, but yet your conscious mind cannot fathom because you have not experienced that place in this current life. Many people report waking up from such dreams with tears or profound nostalgia, you know, for a place they've never physically visited. And apart from this, many of us feel deeply resonated with certain things. It can be a culture, it can be a tradition, it can be a deity or God, it can be a particular philosophy. For example, many people from across the world, you know, watch these videos and comment on these videos. And many people from across the world are a part of our community at the Advaita Conscious Society. Now, when people are not familiar with Vedanta, when people are not exposed to this wisdom throughout their life, in their childhood, how can such an alien philosophy deeply resonate with that people? You know, when we look at all of this, we begin to see a pattern that tells us that we carry memory within us. We carry certain tendencies within us. And these tendencies are dictating our current behavior. And interestingly, physical marks provide a very deep insight to this phenomenon. Dr. Ian Stephenson's research documented numerous cases where birthmarks correspond to fatal wounds from the previous lives. These physical impressions suggest experiences might imprint not just on consciousness, but on our physical form across lifetimes. And relationships are again a very important area where we can see this. When we meet certain people, immediately there is a connection. Immediately there is a spark. We know that we are aligned, we are somehow connected. And yet, when we meet certain other people, there is an immediate sense of resistance, uneasiness. Energies simply are not compatible there. Why does it happen? Of course, one explanation is our current energy, our current vibration, because of our thoughts, emotions, and our deep being, is not compatible with them. But another explanation is their memory and our memory are not compatible. There is something in the past which is causing some effect now. What's fascinating is that the ancient Vedantic texts recognized these signs thousands of years ago. The sages understood these experiences are not coincidences, but it is the subtle body memories transcending physical death. To understand this better, we must clearly begin to look at the process of rebirth and how everything is connected to karma. So that is what we will do next. In part 1, we will look at the signs that you might have lived before. Your current life is just one chapter in a larger story. This is what Vedanta says. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, composed thousands of years ago, contains detailed explanations of how consciousness continues after physical death. In a particularly illuminating passage, it employs the metaphor of a caterpillar to explain the soul's transition. As a caterpillar which has wriggled to the top of a blade of grass draws itself over to a new blade, so does the soul or subtle body, after it has put aside its body, draws itself over to a new existence. This comes from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.3. This explains how death is not the end but simply a transition, and there is a lot more that we need to understand about this reality and life itself. While modern scientific worldview states that consciousness is simply the result of brain activity and certain neural activity, when we begin to explore reality much deeply and when we begin to look at these signs and understand what is happening, we will come to know that there is more to consciousness. Consciousness is not simply an emergent property of matter, but it is much more fundamental than what we can conceive now. And apart from this, Vedanta talks about Atman, the infinite consciousness, the infinite awareness, which is the essence of reality itself, which is within which the universe itself appears. So as per Vedanta, our deepest essence is this Atman, this infinite consciousness. But then, because of our ego and our identification, we are identified with a subtle body, which is the Sukshma Sharira. This is apart from the physical body. So there is the physical body or Stula Sharira, there is the subtle body or the Sukshma Sharira, and ultimately there is Atman, the infinite consciousness, which is beyond all these bodies. Our true essence is this Atman, but the subtle body is what we are identified with. This is the mind along with prana, which moves from one body to the next. during the death of the physical body. According to Vedanta, the essential self, Atman, is always unchanged. It is eternal. It is infinite. But what changes and what modifies and what moves from one body to another is the subtle body or the sukshma sharira. The text explains our attachments to physical existence through 8 grahas, the senses, and atigrahas, the sense objects. These create bonds, tying consciousness to form. Your sensory experiences create desires that propel the subtle body into new bodies where those desires can be fulfilled. The Vedantic philosophy talks about 2 distinct paths that a subtle body can take after the physical death. Number 1, the path of gods or Devayana, and number 2, the path of ancestors or Pitriyana. Those following knowledge progress through celestial stages toward liberation, while those following rituals return to earth for rebirth. Vedanta also says that each lifetime can be looked at as a new experience, as a new opportunity for growth, for evolution, and ultimately for liberation. Each lifetime presents circumstances for growth and development. Liberation comes through direct realization of your true nature as Atman beyond birth and death altogether. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad clearly states that those who firmly realize that their true nature is the Atman, the infinite reality beyond all the modifications and beyond life and death, those are liberated from the eternal cycle of life and death, the eternal cycle of samsara, and they are established in absolute peace and fulfillment. When we go beyond the ego identification and when we recognize our true nature beyond the body-mind complex, we understand who we are and we realize the truth of consciousness. But all of this is connected to karma, and if we do not understand karma, then none of this makes sense. So in the part 3, let's discuss karma. Could the challenges and the gifts that you are experiencing today can be a result of your actions from your past lives? Is this possible? Is there a framework and a law that makes this happen? The answer to this is yes. Vedanta says there is such a thing as the law of karma. This is cause and effect. Whatever you create, whatever you do, whether it is physical action, whether it is mental action in terms of thoughts, emotions, etc., everything generates memory, and this memory is imprinted within you because you are performing this memory, you are performing this action as an individual identity. You are identifying yourself as this body-mind complex and performing this action. So these actions are connected to your body-mind complex. So this is karma. We have gathered tremendous amount of memory through our evolution, through our lives, you know, throughout different lifetimes. Karma operates as a universal law of cause and effect that transcends individual lifetimes. This concept forms a cornerstone of Vedantic philosophy, offering a framework that explains why some people are born in fortunate circumstances while others face immediate hardships. Now, karma functions like a natural law. It works whether we are aware of it or not. Just like how gravity is always working, the law of karma is always working. Every action, every thought, every deepest tendency that you have, it again reinforces and it creates a momentum and a memory which is adding to your total karmic gathering. And this total karmic accumulation that each of us hold is called as Sanchita Karma. So there are 3 distinct types of karma. Number 1, like I said, Sanchita, the total accumulated actions from all lives. Number 2, Prarabdha Karma, the portion of karma that we bring to this life, which gives rise to our parents, our life circumstances, and the way we are today. And number 3, Agami Karma. This is the new karma that we generate in this life, which goes on and which adds on to the Sanchita. But apart from all this, there is also Kriyamana Karma, which is the karma that we generate in this life, which again brings results in this life itself. Now, this itself is a very deep concept. We had created a very elaborate video on karma. If you are interested, you can watch that after this video. But this is just to give you an overview of karma. Whatever we do, we create memory, we store that memory, we carry that memory throughout various lives. And this memory gives rise to different tendencies, different fears, different desires, different skills, different passions, and so on. And as we live new lives, we are not just dissolving or burning the old memory, but we are creating new memories. We are creating new data because of which we are born again. So until and unless we recognize our true nature as that unchanging self, we are stuck in the loop of samsara because of the nature and the law of karma. Now, regarding the scientific facts and the scientific research that has gone into all this and the data that we have through research which talks about rebirth and reincarnation, we are planning to make another video which is going to be interesting. So stay tuned with the channel and make sure to subscribe. But this particular video was an exploration into Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and certain concepts which are covered there about rebirth. Now let's come to the fourth and the final part, which is about transforming our perspective on life through the understanding of rebirth. And before I begin here, we have an advanced membership at the Advaita Conscious Society that we call Transcend. This is about working on our swabhava, our deepest identity on a root level to change our life through a process called conscious creation. This is a 1-year journey. So if you are a serious seeker who is looking to live your ideal life through conscious creation and the wisdom of ancient Vedanta, you can fill out this form that is attached below this video. Now let's come back to the video. Think about this. How would you live your life differently if you knew that physical death is not the end of life? And not only that, whatever you are right now, you are responsible for it. Somehow or the other, your actions in the past have led you to where you are today. How would your life change if you understood that everything is your responsibility and your actions are literally creating your life, not only for this life, but for the next as well? When we view life through the limited lens of materialism, we see ourselves as isolated beings existing only from birth to death. This creates anxiety, fear, and desperate clinging to experiences. Every pleasure becomes something to grasp tightly, fearing it will never return. That is why we must free ourselves from the limited perspective of materialism. The expansive understanding that consciousness continues beyond this lifetime transforms these fears like sunlight dissolving the morning fog. And just this understanding that your fears, your desires, and your tendencies are coming from past conditioning allows you to be conscious of them, allows you to be not be controlled by them, allows you to be conscious and aware and take charge of your life, allows you to live your ideal life through conscious creation. This recognition enhances your ability to respond consciously rather than react from old programming.